Well, good evening to each one. I feel privileged and humbled to be here this evening and be able to share the hope of the gospel. I find that with the gospel message, we can be challenged and encouraged, but always the Lord provides a way out if we're lacking. The Lord is such a good God and He's so faithful to us. And I appreciate what He means to me for the services that we have in front of us. I feel inspired tonight to do battle against the enemy. I was encouraged a couple of days ago. It did seem like the enemy was battling a little bit. And I felt like the Lord brought the story of Jehoshaphat to me. And you know, Jehoshaphat looked out there and he saw that the numbers coming against him were greater than the numbers that he had. And the Lord told him, He said, "Don't be dismayed by reason of the numbers." He says, "I've got this battle. I've got this one. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." But I also noted that He told him, go ahead and go out there and face the enemy. He didn't tell him to go hide, be discouraged, hunker down, I'll let you know when I'm done. He said, "I've got this one, I've got this battle, but you go out there and see the salvation of the Lord." And he went out there, and when they began to sing praises, the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. My desire in this meeting is that we would all come together and that we would come with courage, trusting in the strength of the Lord, that He would send ambushments against the enemy and that He would bless us and give us what we need in our hearts. I'm thankful for the opportunity that the Lord gives me to sit at His table. There's no greater privilege than to be able to have a place in the kingdom of God. And there's also a responsibility that comes with that. And I often think and am sobered when I think of the verse that says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little bit of time. And then it vanishes away." And there's a complimentary verse that says, "Redeem the time, because the days are evil." And I wonder tonight, I wonder if we have the sense of urgency that the Lord wants us to have. I wonder if we have the sense of reality of how quickly time is passing us by. And how uncertain life is. Today there were many people that went out and faced the Lord at the judgment. Many of them were old and many of them were young. Many of them met the Lord unexpectedly. They weren't expecting to meet the Lord today. The business of the Lord and doing the Lord's will is the most important thing that we can attend to with our lives. And I don't want to do anything in my life that gets in between the business of the Lord and how I am directing the course of my life. And I'm challenged tonight with a message. I've written it in the form of a question. And that is, whose business? Whose business are you about? And I'd like to start in the second chapter of Luke and the 46th verse. I desire an interest in your prayers that the Lord will help me deliver this message. The second chapter of Luke and the 46th verse, and maybe before we start the background of this, Mary and Joseph and Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And if you remember, they got done with the feast of the Passover and they were on their way home, and Mary and Joseph looked around and Jesus was nowhere to be found. How old was Jesus at this time? He was 12. Have you ever lost your 12-year-old son? Maybe recognized a long time after you'd been on the road, he was gone. I imagine they had a sense of urgency, don't you? So they turned around and they looked all over for him and they went back. And the 46th verse said, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing him and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Didn't you know, Mom and Dad, that I must be about my father's business, and the decisions that I make may not conform to the decisions that so many other people around me are making? Mom and Dad, I know you were concerned, and it seemed odd and out of place and was a little bit scary that I was not there, but Mom and Dad, didn't you know that my point of view around life is different than the point of view that all the people around us, many of them, have? My point of view, Mom and Dad, it's informed by my father. And Mom and Dad, why did you look for me? I understand, but I want you to know that there's a higher calling that I have, and there's a business that I'm about. Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?" You know whose business he was about as well? He was seen to us. He was about his father's business, which was to try to reach a lost world. He wanted to come down and he wanted to be about his father's business, which was to find all of us and redeem us and pick us out of the pit that we find ourselves in. And from a very young age, Jesus Christ was about his father's business, and he was telling his mom and dad, "Mom and Dad, listen, I didn't you know, and don't you know that that's who I identify with? I know it doesn't seem normal, but I identify with my father. And that's whose business I'm about. And I wonder tonight whose business we're about. Whose business are you about tonight? What are the actions of your life? What does it tell? Do you remember when the Lord asked Peter, he said, right before he left this world, he said, "Simon, son of Jonas," he said, "lovest thou me?" Remember? And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." I don't know how long he waited, and he said, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter said, "Well, yes, Lord." I wonder why Peter wondered why he was being asked the second time. Did Jesus not just hear what I just got finished saying? I just told him that I did. Maybe he didn't hear me. "Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Absolutely. I'm one of your disciples. Feed my sheep." "Okay. All right. Hey, Simon." "Yes, Lord." "Do you love me?" And that time, it said that he was grieved in his heart. Why do you think he was grieved? Do you think maybe he started to question whether Jesus thought he loved him? I'll tell you this. Jesus got his attention. Jesus got Peter's attention that night, didn't he? He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep. Follow me." And I wonder tonight if the Lord was here. I know I'm not preaching to what we would call Sin City. I know I'm preaching to people who you're here for a reason tonight. We love the Lord. Peter was a disciple. But Jesus asked him that question 3 times. And I wonder tonight if the Lord was here, if he went around and he went to each one of us. And he came to me and he said, "Rod, do you love me?" And, "Well, yes, Lord. Yes, I love you." I wonder if he asked me the question, he said, "Are you about my business?" "Yes, Lord, I'm about your business. I want you to be about my business." "Okay, Lord." "Hey, Rod, are you about my business?" "Yes, Lord. Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. I'm about your business." "Be about my business." "Okay, Lord." "Hey, Rod, are you about my business? Do you think you'd give it some more thought?" Would it sober you as it sobers me to think about, what if God asked me that question 3 times? "Lord, am I about your business?" Do you know that it's really easy for us here tonight to say, "Well, yes, Lord, I'm about your business. Well, I'm here. I come to church. I love you." It'd be easy. You know, Pharisee? Is it the Pharisee and the publican? And it's easy for us to look at him and think, "Oh, we'd never do that." "Well, yes, Lord, I love you. I go to service and Lord, I give of my goods and I fast and Lord, yes, I'm about your business." But I wonder tonight, what defines you tonight? Whose business really are we about? Are we about the Lord's business? Do we make it our primary business? Did you know that all of us are about business tonight? All of us have a business. Tonight all of us have things that identify us. You have things that identify you. Lord, he comes along, Lord, he says, "Rod, are you about my business? Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you. Are you about my business?" "Lord, yes, I'm about your business. I want you to trust me. I want you to live for me. I want you to follow me. I want you to give you all." Rod, do you identify with me? Who do you identify with tonight? There's a verse I want to read in Psalms 31. He told his disciples, before we go to Psalms, he told Peter right after that and his disciples, he said, "Follow me." And he gave them, he defined their primary cause in life. Their primary cause in life was to follow Him. In the 31st Psalm, and the first verse, it said, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed." You know, this is a personal verse. "Lord, in Thee do I put my trust. Lord, let me never be ashamed." And I know that it may be that David was saying, "Lord, I'm putting my trust in You. And Lord, I don't want to get down to the end of the way. And I've lived for You and I've put all my trust in You. And then all of it is for naught." But I was reading this one day and it seemed like the Lord brought it to me so clearly this way. "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed, Lord, of the degree that I put my trust in You. Lord, help me never to be in the place where I have to be ashamed that that, Lord, I didn't trust you enough. Lord, I didn't identify with you enough. Lord, I said that I was all about your business, and I said I wanted to follow you, and I know that was your call, was to come and follow me. But Lord, I don't want to get in the place that I'm ashamed of the lack of trust that I put in you. What does trust mean? I want to read a few things I've written down. Trusting does not mean carelessness or indifference. The Lord's not asking us as Christians just to carelessly and with some degree of indifference say, well, I trust the Lord. It's not careless. It's not indifferent. Trust is not, well, I guess it'll turn out okay. I hope it'll turn out okay. That's not trusting. Neglect and poor stewardship. That's not trusting in the Lord. Neglect and poor stewardship of your time and your resources. That's not what would be considered a trust. But trust is something positive. It's real. Trust has a basis. Trust is life-changing. Trust is reaching out and anchoring ourselves in the Lord. Trust results in action on our part. Who do we identify with tonight? Who really are we trusting in? Where are we positioned? Do you have more than a form tonight? God came to give us a hold of something. He came to bring us a resurrection of life, that we might feel His presence, that we might have victory in our souls. The Lord came to give us a vision that we might go be a light to a dark world. And He wants us to buy into this. God wants us to identify with Him in such a way that it causes us to inform our decisions based on, Lord, what would you want from me in life? Where do we position ourselves? How much energy do we expend in the business of being a follower of God? I've been challenged sometimes with sports fans. Did you know there are some folks out there that are flat dedicated to their cause? I mean, there are people out there, it's hard to get them to get out and do much when it's really cold or really hot. But when it comes time for their team to play, it can be 20 degrees outside and it can be 100 degrees. And they're there. And some of them show up with painted faces. You ever seen that? I've never seen one in the game, but I've seen pictures of them. Painted faces. They put flags on their cars. You can see cars going down the road, and they're proclaiming to the world, I am a fan of such and such a team. And they have bumper stickers, and they are all out. I remember one time I saw a guy, his team lost, and he was so distraught. He took his tennis racket and just beat it, a high-dollar tennis racket. Just beat it against the wall and destroyed it. People get serious about their team. They identify with their team. There's people that paint their houses and their rooms the colors of their teams. They identify with their teams. And they're willing to take action in such a way that there's no question about where their heart is. And you know, there are some people that they go after their work and their jobs that way. They're so in love and so entrenched, and their heart is given so much to it that that's how they begin to be identified. Some people are like that with their hobbies. You've met people. People can be so in love with their hobbies that they become known by that hobby to other people. It's like you move into a new neighborhood and you meet the guy next door and you say, hey, tell me about, what's the guy's name two doors down again? You know, the guy that's got brown hair and he's kind of tall and slim. Oh, you're talking about the fisherman. The fisherman? Yeah, that's the fisherman. He likes to fish. Okay, well, what about the guy across the street? What's his name? I'm trying to remember what his... Oh, you're talking about the LSU fan. Huh? Yeah. They mow the grass. They go to work. They got to pay rent and buy their food just like we do. But you see, they're known. They become known by where their love is. What are we known by? How energetic are we? These people are willing to do these seemingly outlandish things sometimes. They give their lives. They still have to hold the job down. Like I said, they still have to take care of a business, living life. We all do. We live in this world. But you see, they have a cause. They have a love. They identify with something in life that has captured their attention. And they find time. And they find energy to give themselves to those things. And that challenges me. Because those things are temporal in nature. Those things are gonna pass away. The question for us is, who's our business about? And from a Christian standpoint, do we have more than face paint on? Do we have more than a bumper sticker? Do we have more than a profession? Are we flying more than a flag? Did you know that God wants it to be burning deep in our hearts? Oh, God wants to reach us. God has a place for you in His business. Isn't that wonderful? God invites us to His table. God has our name on a chair at His table that nobody else can fill. And He invites us to come, be a part of His kingdom. That's wonderful, thank the Lord. And everybody that's here, He's got a name for you. And if you're not where you need to be tonight, He has a place for you. And He's calling us. Oh, He has victory for us. He has a place of fulfillment for us. Oh, He wants to do something for us. He wants to do something for you. You feel a lack in your heart. God wants to fill it. A lot of times it's not filled because we're about the wrong business. We come to church. Well, we're here. Well, we put in our time. We fly the right flag sometimes. We profess like we should sometimes. But how are we really identified? Where's really your heart? Do you have a burning in your heart like the men on the road to Emmaus? Did you feel the burn in your heart? He got done talking to us. Well, they were opening their heart up to receive what God had for them. God wants us tonight. If we'll just open up our heart, if we'll make Him our business, your business. Oh, He has so much for us. And I'm worried tonight. I look in the world that we live in, and this world has oh so much to put on our plate. Oh, the world has so many things to fill up a plate that's about this big. And you know what? They're non-sinful items sometimes. And the enemy says, well, that's not sin, it's alright. Well, that's not sin, it's okay. And pretty soon your plate's just overflowing with all kinds of stuff. Non-sinful stuff. Until we push the Lord right off of the plate. Our business isn't about the Lord, it's about all of these other things. Listen, the Lord has something for us tonight, but we've got to put in for it. The Lord wants us to identify with Him. He wants us to make Him our business. I'm struck with the parable when He separated the sheep from the goats. You remember that? And then He began to give characteristics of the sheep. And did you know that every one of them had to do with something that was a work that was outside of the person themselves? It was recognizing that there was a higher calling. There was a business. There was a love. Oh, there was somebody that needed a drink. There was somebody over here that was hungry. There was somebody that needed to be visited. It was the Lord's work that He had. And the people that were separated were the ones that gave themselves to the work of the Lord. Oh, sometimes it's easy for us to say, well, that's not my strength. Well, I'm going to let somebody else do that, and then I'm challenged with the parable of the talents. It said that he gave one five and another one two, and to another one he gave one. And the one that had five, he got himself another five. And to the one that had two, well, he gained him another two. But the one that had one talent, what did he do? He buried it. And I'm fearful tonight that, did you know that the Lord wants you to take, if you have one talent, God wants you to take that one talent and do business with the Lord with that talent. It's so easy for, and this is how it works. This is real life, alright? We come to church and we're one of the one talenters. That's probably me. We're one of the one talenters. And we come to church and we look over there and it's time to testify. And we see the five talenters sitting over there on the bench. Well, they'll do it a lot better than I. Somebody comes in the back door and needs somebody to maybe say a few words to them. Maybe they're an outsider. Well, so-and-so is really good at that. And we can always find somebody with a talent that's higher than ours. That's the way life is. If you think you have five and one, there's probably somebody that's got ten. There's always somebody that has more talent than what you have in a particular area. It's maybe a difficult truth, but it's the truth. But the Lord doesn't want us to be limited by that. The Lord, if you're a one talenter, if I can say it that way, in a particular area, use the talent. Be about the business of the Lord. When it comes church time, if you feel like I just have one talent, be willing to contribute the one talent. It'll help inspire the other one to do something with theirs. It'll help all of the people that are in there. It shouldn't be one person praying or one person that testifies or one person that's always doing the work. God has each of us a place and He gives us a place in His business to come and to exercise the talents that He's given us. And I want to tell you something. If we'll exercise the one talent that He gives us, well, then He'll give us maybe two. And then if we exercise those two, well, He'll return us maybe four when you start using it. And pretty soon you have as many as the person had when you started that you thought should be doing the work. But you have to be willing to use the talent. You have to have a heart that, Lord, I know that maybe this isn't my strength, but You're my business and it's You that I want to serve. It's not trying to impress everybody else. Lord, I'm going to bring You what I have. Lord, here it is. Lord, I'll give You this. Who do you identify with? Do you identify with the Lord enough tonight that you're willing? That you're willing to exercise the one talent. Are you willing to let your trust be strong enough in the Lord? Lord, my trust is strong enough in You that it's going to cause me to make decisions that when the whole world looks like they're headed off this way, and I hear that still small voice say, "Oh, Rod, come over here. I know that's not where the crowd's going. But I have something for you over here," and say, "Yes, Lord. Lord, I want to be about your business. Lord, if I can be an encouragement to a soul. Lord, I might not be able to say a lot, but you can do something with it, Lord. Lord, you can cause it to expand. Lord, you can increase it. Lord, you are who I'm about, and I'll give you whatever it is that I have." Oh, it's important tonight. God doesn't want us to just find our place and sit down and get comfortable and then involve ourselves with everything else that may seem like it's not sin and neglect the business of the Lord. Folks, sadly, nearly everything that people spend their time on in this world, it's going to pass away. Almost everything that people spend their time on in this world, it's going to go. It's not going to be around anymore. The only thing that's going to be around is the Word of God, is the truth, is things that have eternal value. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word isn't going to pass away. Oh, this earth, the heavens that we see that surrounds this earth, the things that are physical, that are tangible to us. He said, those things are gonna pass away. But my word's not gonna pass away. And eternity's a long time, by the way. By the way, eternity doesn't ever end. Why? Why wouldn't we want to make the business of the Lord our business? Why wouldn't we want to say, Lord, I want to reassess what I'm identifying with. Lord, I want to reassess how I'm known to the world. Lord, I want to reassess the energy that I have on understanding the Word of the Lord. Because, Lord, You said that Your Word's not going to pass away. I want to read that in the 13th chapter of Mark. Let's read that real quick. Mark 13 and maybe it's 31. Listen to the words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Now listen. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed and watch. And pray, for you know not when the time is. Folks, I don't know when my time is. I don't know when my last day is. I don't want to get to the end of the way and have been about some other business that is different from the Lord's business. It's not worth it. And God has so much for us. I don't know when that time is. Lord, help me to give myself to You. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, listen, and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. God has a work for you. He hasn't left you out. He hasn't given a special work for just certain people, and it's the people that may seem the most visible. The Lord, He comes by and He has a work. He has a business. He has a business plan. And oh, it's good, and it's fulfilling, and it's wonderful, and it's uplifting, and it involves songs, and it involves victory, and it involves grace, and it involves vision. It involves knowing Jesus Christ. And then it's involved with His work. Oh, it's good work. It's fulfilling work. It has a purpose. It has an end. And the Lord comes by our way and He said, I have a work for you. Be about your work. He's coming. He's given us this wonderful opportunity to be about His business. And then one day He's going to come back. Well, I don't know when He's going to come back. You don't know when He's going to come back, but I know this. I want to be about My Father's business when He comes back. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly He find you sleeping. He finds you about some other business. He finds you where you've been lukewarm. He finds where you buried your talent, or it's sitting on the shelf and you're procrastinating the use of it. Well, one of these days I'm sure enough going to try to use that talent. One of these days, and the days keep passing. And people are suffering because you're not using your talent. And oh, if the Lord's saying, if you would just pick that up, don't sleep, don't bury it, don't put it over there. Use the talents that I gave you, because I want to increase it in your life. Be about My business. So that when He comes back, He doesn't find us asleep. About other businesses. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. In the end, I want to say this, the Lord is going to be known as Lord by 100% of the population that ever walked the face of the earth. There's going to be no atheists. There's going to be no agnostics. There's going to be no one that says, yes, but Lord, I wasn't able because of this, that, or the other. Every single person is going to know Him as Lord God of the heavens and the earth. And all that will matter, all that is going to matter, is going to be how we have identified ourselves with the business of Jesus Christ when we walk the face of this earth. That's right. Social status, not going to matter. Economic status, not going to matter. The place in your work, not going to matter. What your lawn looks like, it's all right to mow it, but it isn't going to matter.
How big a house you live in isn't going to matter. What your neighbors think of you isn't going to matter. How well you're prepared for the time ahead that you know not of isn't going to matter. Not going to be there anymore. And you don't know when the end of the time is. I don't know. None of that's going to matter. The only thing that is going to matter, it's what business were we about? That's all. Were you about the Lord's business? Or were you about your business? I want to be about the Lord's business. Is it possible that I might fail and get off track and get off business plan sometimes? It is. And have I ever done that? I have. But you know what? We serve a God and a hat that came down to bring a plan of mercy and help and an extended hand to pick us up when we fail. The enemy would like to tell you, I'll tell you what your business is. You're listening to this preacher talk about being in the business of the Lord. You tried the business of the Lord some time back and you're a failure when it comes to spiritual things. You're in the business of failing spiritually. That's what you're in the business of. That's what the enemy likes to tell us. Solomon said, a just man falls 7 times and rises again. Do you remember when the Lord looked at Peter from across the room? In one of his hardest, darkest moments. Oh, Peter, he said, Lord, yeah, I'll follow you. Yes, I love you. That's what he said afterward. You know that might be one of the reasons he got grieved in his heart. Because he remembered. He remembered when the Lord looked at him. And when he had told the Lord, I'll go to the death for you. He did pull a sword. Let's not forget that. He did cut off the guy's ear before that happened. Let's give him credit for where credit's due. Peter was ready to go to battle for the Lord. But then he got distracted. He got distracted off of the business he really was supposed to be in. And he wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to be kind of close. So he got close where he could see him kind of out there. But then there was this other business about not wanting to be identified in a way that could get him in trouble. There was that business going on. And it caused him to deny Jesus Christ. 3 times. And after the 3rd time, Jesus was across the hall and he was in such a horrible spot and there was maybe a lot of noise. I don't know if Peter and the Lord could hear each other. They didn't have to. And the Lord turned his head and he looked. And I don't think he looked sternly at Peter. I think he was kind of sad. I think he was sad because he was going through a hard time. Jesus was having trod that wine press alone. I think he was sad for Peter too. And he felt bad about the whole situation. And Peter was grieved in his heart and he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter did not allow himself to be defined by his failures. He became defined by how he responded to his failures. And it wasn't long after that the same Peter that denied the Lord was the same Peter that stood up and began to exercise the talents that the Lord gave him. And the Lord began to bless Peter and he began to have a spiritual assertiveness, if I can say it that way, to be able to proclaim the gospel with a boldness that he never had before. Because he was willing and he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to do that again. I'm gonna stand up for the Lord. But whatever it takes, whatever is required. Are we doing the same? Listen, be defined as standing up for the Lord. If you fall, be defined as one who gets up when you fall. Ask the Lord more often, Lord, what would you do? Lord, what would Jesus do in this place? The Lord will bless us if we do that, if we'll stand up for Him. You remember Stephen, he began to preach a gospel message in a very difficult situation, remember? And the stones began to fly, and Stephen stayed true.
And as the stones came in, he looked up and there was Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the throne of God, looking down, and he saw Jesus standing up for him. And I want to tell you tonight that if we are willing, if we're willing to take some incoming, if you will, take some stones that come our way, and we're willing to stand up for Jesus, we're willing to go through some hard times, the Lord is willing to stand up for us. Job was going through a hard place one time, and wasn't he asked, "Wilt thou maintain thy integrity with God?" He did. Will we? Are you? It's easy when we're here at church tonight. Well, it's easy when everything's going well. But what about when it's hard? What about when you get in a rough place? What do we do then? Oh, I want to be faithful. I want to trust. I don't want to be in the place that I ever have to look back and be ashamed that I didn't have the right degree of trust in the Lord. The Lord's coming by our way tonight, and He calls our names. He doesn't want us to turn away from Him. Oh, the Lord had disciples following after Him, and it said that many of them turned away and they didn't follow Him anymore. And the Lord turned around and He asked Peter, He said, "Are you going to go away too?" And Peter said, "Well, where are we going to turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, the business that you're about, it's the only business that won't ever go bankrupt. Lord, these other businesses, they're going to fail. I might not understand what the road looks like ahead for me always, and we won't." The Lord said, "That's why you have to have faith. But I don't want to be defined as one who turns away and walks no more with the Lord because we said, well, it's a hard saying. I don't know how I'm going to do it. The grace of God is sufficient." Jesus Christ came by, they didn't all turn away. He came by one day and he saw a man sitting at this little table called the receipt of customs, and the Lord said, "Hey Matthew, follow me." And it said Matthew got up and he followed Jesus. And I think about that so often, about Matthew's little place. He had his little spot all set up, and he had his little routine, and he had security, and people knew who he was, and they may not have all liked him, but he had his place, and maybe he thought that this is gonna help me out in the next week and the month and the years to come, and I'll go to bed tonight and I'll come back in the morning and this is who I am and this is how I identify myself. And the Lord came by and he said, "Matthew, follow me." And he got up and he followed him. And Jesus Christ comes by your way tonight. Wherever you're at, we all have our own seat. We all have our little bench that we set up. We all have things that we're comfortable with it. It's within our comfort zone. It's what we're familiar with. Sometimes the Lord likes to come along and say, "Hey, Rod, come on, follow me." It might be here in church. "Hey, come on, Rod, follow me. I want to take you somewhere else. I'd like you to do this." Matthew got up and he followed him. And Jesus went past Peter and Andrew and he said, "Follow me." And it said they left their nets and they followed him. And the enemy likes to say, "I'll tell you what, you can follow the Lord, but you don't need to let go of that net. It's not necessary to let go of that. You can follow the Lord, and then you just see him going through town, and then their net gets caught on something. And they're going through, and they got divided hearts and divided business. They want to serve the Lord, but they're hauling this other stuff. They might be carrying some hurts they shouldn't carry with them. Might be a little bit of pride. Might be a little bit of I'm a little holier than thou. It might be a little worldliness. It could be you fill in the blank. It could be all sorts of things, and we like to carry our nets with us sometimes. And the Lord just has a real simple message: come follow me. Just let go of your nets. Be about my business. I have something special for me. Oh Lord, in Thee I put my trust. I don't want to ever be ashamed. I want my life tonight. I want to have the testimony of the psalmist where he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after. Lord, I want to be in your presence all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to have the testimony of Paul when I get to the very end of the way that I can say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. You know that the Lord has that testimony for all of us. What's your business tonight? Who do you identify with? Are you comfortable with it? Are you okay taking it to the judgment? Are you okay taking your business to the judgment tonight? May God help us think seriously and soberly about that. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is in the business of redeeming our business. And if you feel uncomfortable about an area of your life, a particular business that maybe you're in, a place in your heart, the Lord's purpose is not to come along and try to cut us off at the first opportunity and, oh, I see that, you're not getting that by me, you're out of here. The Lord paid a great price, to come by our way. And even when Peter and Andrew and Matthew may have places in their lives that weren't right, He still called them and He says, come follow me. I can take care of that. I have the answer to your problem. I can set your feet on a higher plane. I can put a different song in your heart. And the Lord calls all of us tonight, come be about my Father's business. He invites us to be included. I want to do that tonight. I want to make it all the way to the end. The Lord is interested tonight in strengthening His partnership with you in His business. And our part is, here I am, Lord. Count me in. Pray for me. I want to make my calling and election sure. Amen.